Yo! Welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out here with me as I break down a Bears win. Yeah, how about that? A Bears win. They go out to Seattle in a snowstorm and come back victorious. Now they're 5-10. Here's what I want to spend our time together talking about today. Like, the game itself was cool, and I do want to talk about that vibe. I want to spend some time talking about that vibe. The vibe that the Bears had, I shouldn't say the Bears had, because the Bears didn't have a vibe. The vibe that Bears fans had throughout this game, I thought was fantastic. And let me tell you why. I thought it was great because you didn't let this overwhelm you. I think the last couple of weeks have been really hard for Bears fans. The reason is you have the game against the Packers, and it's the Packers, and that elicits a lot of crazy emotions from Bears fans. Then you have the Vikings game. It's on national television, and everything goes completely wrong. And in both of those cases, as a Bears fan, you're stuck. Like, you're just sitting there stuck and embarrassed and angry about how things have gotten to this point, why things are so bad right now for the Bears as compared to other teams in the division, including Detroit. Some people have said that Detroit's farther along. I'm not willing to give that to them at all. I'm not willing to say that that's the case. I get the concept of they're already at the beginning of their rebuild, but if you kind of know that the rebuild's going to be bad because Dan Campbell's bad, then are you really at the beginning of anything special? I don't think so. But the vibe that I felt from Bears fans and talking to them today on Twitter while the game was going on, it felt like a no-consequence game. And that's what it was. I mean, there's nothing at stake here. Nothing is at stake. But it was football on your television, and then you add in the aesthetic of it's snowing in Seattle, and you got guys sliding around, making sure they got the right cleats on, and it looks like what we hype up to be football. Like, it looks like exactly what you want December football in your mind to look like. And that's fun. Like, it's a different backdrop from what we're used to. It's a different backdrop from the way that the NFL is going. And the NFL is going to, we want to play these games in the dome. We don't want the elements to be a part of the conversation. I feel like I'm with the league for the most part on that. But I'm okay with occasionally getting an anomaly and seeing how teams handle the anomaly. And I don't think that either one of the teams looked like they didn't know what they were doing or were slip-sliding around all day long. It was just football in snow. And football in snow, I think, evokes good feelings. So there you were as a Bears fan, watching this game, listening to this game, and going, man, this is kind of fun. It was competitive. There were some questions about whether or not the game plan initially made sense because the Bears did throw the ball more than what they should early on in the game. Aqib Talib was talking about it. It was really interesting, too, hearing him discuss it and say, why are you doing that when you have David Montgomery? A question that I ask over and over and over and over again when it comes to Bears football. But they were able to, in the second half of this game, move the ball and score 18 points. And they only averaged as a team 17 points. They scored 18 points in the second half. You end up looking at the numbers. Nick Foles, 24-35, 250 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, a rating of 98.5. You had a big run from Khalil Herbert. I really wish that, I know that you have David Montgomery, but I wish they would give Herbert more opportunities. But you know what? I'm not going to even, why even get into it? The Jimmy Graham, you post him up. He takes on two defenders and is able to get the touchdown. You go for the two-point conversion. Demir Bird gets a two-point conversion. You hang on at the end of it, and you win. You win. And that's good. That's a good thing for Bears fans that were rewarded with an entertaining Sunday and not feeling as terrible. Now, I don't want you to get lost in that entertainment. I don't want you to get lost in the fun of watching the Bears succeed, watching Matt Nagy not be a coward and say, hey, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's go for two. And they went for two, and it was fun. And it was fun. But now comes the really interesting part. Ian Rappaport reported on NFL game day on NFL Network, and Ian's a guy that works for NFL media. He's very much tapped into the goings-on of the NFL. He reported that Matt Nagy could be let go after the game. I don't think that that part of it is contingent on them winning. Like, well, if your file on Matt Nagy hasn't already been uploaded and downloaded by the powers that be, and I'm talking about ownership, the ownership level, if you haven't already made up your mind, then a win to get the Bears to 5-10 should not be a part of the data points that you're putting together to figure out whether or not you want to bring this coach back. The questions, to me, loom about the general manager. That's where they loom. If you're bringing back Ryan Pace, anything you do with Matt Nagy is going to feel hollow. It's going to feel incomplete. It's going to feel like, well, we could have done this. We could have gotten ourselves prepared and changed the way that we do things and then started our hiring process for a football person and then maybe a GM after that and then a head coach after that. The new rules are in place so that teams can get a head start. They can interview more candidates. They can interview minority candidates. They can interview candidates that are on winning teams. I think it's a win-win. Unless you haven't made up your mind about it. If you haven't made up your mind about it, and this is where I wonder where the Bears are. I wonder if they are entertaining overarching change structurally to the way that they do the business of football. I would hope that at the ownership level, they have already made that decision. I would hope that. But if they haven't, okay, I'm more than okay with them saying we need to get through the season, have our plan in place, make the changes, and then the Bears might end up in a better spot because the entire organization is run in a, has a different model on the way that it's run. I know that I'm presenting this almost as if it's a binary choice, and who knows what the Bears may end up doing. I would love to think that if they aren't going to make a move, that the reason that they aren't going to make a move is that they're not completely ready to pull the trigger on everything that this would entail. I think the file for Matt Nagy has enough data points to tell you what to do in his situation. I feel the same way about his boss. I don't think that there's anything that would keep me from moving on from Ryan Pace as the general manager of the Chicago Bears. I know that the Bears might have reasons like, well, he redid Hallis Hall. As Chris Rock would say, that's some shit you're supposed to do. The Bears had an inferior product as far as their home base for training. So, yes, just about any general manager who walked into that complex will tell you that it was substandard relative to the rest of the league. So you need to make changes. They've made the changes, and it looks great. You can give Ryan Pace credit for that type of work and understand that the main part of his job is to put together a winning team. And the main part of his job is sustained success over a period of time. And he doesn't have the bona fides on that end of it as a general manager of the Bears to warrant any sort of dispensation because he did the stuff that any executive would have done coming in to run the Bears, would have looked at the state of what Hallis Hall looks like and said, we need to make changes here. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm recording this right after the game. Hell, there could be news later on tonight. There could be news as you're listening to this. But I really want to believe that they are, if they are biding their time, that the reason that they're doing it is because they're still unclear about what to do overall. That if George, Ted, and Virginia are out here trying to figure out how do we go about putting ourselves together, how do we figure out how to run this franchise as effectively as possible? And if they need a couple more weeks and if they lose out on a candidate, I would prefer they get who they want, but I would at least understand it. If at the end of this thing, you don't take advantage of the 2-week head start and you fire Nagy, it's going to feel like 2 wasted weeks. Any time that you can get a jump on the competition is a good idea. There are still some teams that are thinking about how the next couple games may affect the head coaching position. Like Carolina and the Giants, for example. Maybe even the Steelers. You know? Then maybe they'll look at it and be like, we need to make some changes up in here. We don't do it very often, basically every 25 years or so. But maybe we need to make some changes. You don't want to be in the position of not being ahead of the game and then having to chase down or outbid, which is another thing that I want to kind of bring to your attention. When we're talking about spending money as an organization, some of it is the physical plant type stuff, upgrading the facilities at Hallis Hall. That's spending money and hoping to get a reward on that expenditure by wins, like by becoming a better valuated franchise. And the Bears are highly valuated. But are they going to spend the cash to get the coach or football executive that they want if they make changes? Are they going to be willing to go there? When you start looking at the impact that college coaching salaries could have on NFL coaching and general manager salaries, you get to start asking the questions of, are the McCaskies cheap? I think it's an easy trope overall. I think that they have spent money. I don't think that they've spent it wisely. But if you want to know if they're willing to spend, this is the window to find out. Y'all spending money over there? Are you willing to, if there's a coach that you want? Like, for example, let's say that Alabama, Roll Tide, wins the national championship. And Nick Saban is like, I've done all I can do here. I'm ready for the challenge of going back to the NFL. And maybe it's not even as head coach. Maybe it's as the guy who's in charge of your football operation. Now, if you're Saban, you go, well, there are dudes that he gets the automatic kicker in his contract where no one's going to be making more money than him. So if the top guys in college football are making $10 million a year to coach, if you're Nick Saban, are you going to go work as the Bears executive or the Bears head coach for less than that? No. You're not giving them a discount. Same thing. You might have to spend $15 million if you're making changes a year on executive plus coach. Maybe $20 million. You might have to do that. Is your franchise willing to do it? These are some of the questions that you've got to get some answers to and you've got to find out. In summary, I just say, man, I'm glad that you as a Bears fan had a good Sunday. I got to tell you, man, people think that in sports radio, in this podcast world, that the negativity is what brings clicks and ears to the radio. You'd be stunned about listenership when teams are good or when teams win. I'll tell you this. In the industry that I work in, while we're not supposed to root for teams, it's always good for business when teams are winning and interesting. And if they can't be winning, then it's good if they're interesting. If you have a team that's losing and uninteresting like the Bears have been, that's not good. But you can tell me the truth. You're happier right now than you were 4 hours ago. And you're going to tune in to the shows all this week. And you're listening to the podcast. And I still have to remind you of some of the bad stuff. But it's nice to have a Sunday like that where you can enjoy yourself. Good for you. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We appreciate the support. Go back and listen to fun episodes of everything. We have great guests on the show. Julie Swyka was on the podcast earlier this week. Go listen to that episode. It's dope. I'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.